It's Saturday morning. I'm thinking breakfast. I'm thinking Caitlin's Original Mile High with a mountain of hash browns with red or green chili, cheddar and jack cheese, two eggs any style, and toast, pancakes, or flour tortilla. And I think I'll get that with bacon. Or maybe I'll get their incredible huevos rancheros. Oh no, I forgot about their incredible breakfast burritos. I love Caitlin's Carne Adobada burrito. The hardest part about going to Caitlin's is trying to choose. Well, I guess the good news is I can catch the rest of Bell and Pollock on the radio on the way, and the kids are always entertained with Caitlin's baskets filled with fun. Kids, get ready! We're going to Caitlin's!
Yay! Caitlin's Restaurant at the corner of Mississippi and South Birch Street, just east of Colorado Boulevard in Glendale. Open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Caitlin's Restaurant. You'll love it every bite of the way.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
All right, here we go. Welcome back. The Champions of the People Injury Show, our website, championsofthepeople.com. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We have offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, Steamboat Springs. We do cases and have done cases for over 30 years anywhere in the state of Colorado. We've done cases outside the state of Colorado. You can give us a call anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. Our podcasts are there. Our shows are there. Our videos are there. The information is there. Our six books is there. Our product areas are there. Question and answers are there. And you can ask us any question that you like. Exactly how do the insurance companies then use your medical records to attack you through your records and therefore attack your injury claim? How does this really, really work? And so we're going to discuss that and show you and educate you. I mean, you want experience, you want education, you want information, you want to know how to navigate these injury claims and put the experience on your side. You want a legal game plan. We trademark protected it. That's one of our books, Legal Game Plan. You want a strategy to beat the insurance company? Right here, right now. And on our website, championsofthepeople.com, and every day in our law firm and law office. Experience on your side. So the insurance company gets your medical records, and they're going to start to look for certain things. And they do this to try to beat down your injury claim. So what do they look for? Let's talk a little bit about inconsistencies and pre-existing conditions and what's in the narrative of the medical records, because we hear this and see this a lot.
We sure do. And the question comes up to begin with, when you start having the interview that we encourage you not to have with the adjuster until you've talked to an attorney, when you start having the interview with the adjuster, and if the adjuster starts getting into your history, your medical history, they love to get a situation where you're guessing. Because if you're guessing, then they know they can start saying you gave false information to them based on whatever you've told them. Because most people, and there are some of you who are able to do this, but most people can't remember the medical care they've gotten in the last couple of years, and they can't remember for sure what the doctors did. There are certain matters that are highlighted in your mind, but you can't remember everything. And some visits you might have entirely forgotten, and the insurance adjusters depend on that. Insurance companies depend on that. They know what they're looking at, and they know what they want to do with regard to the inconsistencies. And that's the first one, an inconsistency of what you're telling them versus what's in the records. The second thing is the inconsistencies that will exist in the records themselves. And that's something they'd like to prevail upon as far as taking what's best for them and saying that must be the truth. And also showing that, you know, you don't tell a straight story anywhere. You don't tell the truth anywhere. Even to your own doctors, you're not telling them the truth. And therefore, these inconsistencies need to be examined by a jury so we understand that, once again, this isn't confusion that the healthcare providers had when entering the records. This is your words that they put down to identify that you're inconsistent and that you're not trustworthy and you can't be believed.
And let's give a couple examples, because the implication here by the insurance companies and their attorneys in court and your deposition in your case The implication is that you're lying. The implication is, and the words they like to use, is that you're a poor medical records historian. That's what they like to say. What they mean is your records are inconsistent. So let's give you a concrete example. You're injured in this car crash. You go to your PCP, and now you're off to a neurologist, a specialist, and you may be off to an occupational therapist or physical therapist or massage therapist. So you've seen four, five, six healthcare providers. And when you go in there, they have an intake questionnaire and or they ask you, what happened? And you tell them, I was in this crash. I was at a stoplight. I was rear-ended. The car looked like it was coming 35 to 40 miles an hour. I looked in my rearview mirror, et cetera, et cetera. And so now this gets entered in one medical record at 35 to 40 miles an hour. I'm just giving you an example. It can apply to anything we were talking about. In another medical record, the provider might have put in there 50 to 60 miles an hour. And in a third medical record, they might have said it was at fast speed and thinks it was over 50 miles an hour, over 60 miles an hour. So now there are three inconsistent statements. So they say to you in the narrative portion in your deposition, well, you told Dr. X it was 30 miles an hour. You told Dr. Y it was 40 miles an hour. You told Dr. Z it was over 50 miles an hour. Well, no, I didn't say that. What's right here in the records? Well, I didn't say that way. That must be a mistake. It's right here in the records. So you must be a poor medical records historian, and the implication is you're making this up. They don't call you outright a liar in court or in your deposition, but the implication, they imply, well, this isn't correct. You must have told the doctor wrong information here, here, and here, and here.
And they go further than that. They go, well, you know, are you calling the doctor a liar? Are you saying the doctor lied? They might even ask you, saying the doctor was wrong or made a mistake. Don't be afraid to say, yeah, that was a mistake by them. I didn't say that. The doctor's going to say that's how I remember it. Rarely they're going to say, oh, that's not what they told me and I just dreamed up a number. But if it's not correct, you have to be able to say it's not correct. That's why a lot of times you want to see it in advance. They're also going to imply, well, you know, doctor, you based your opinion of the injuries and the nature and extent of the injuries on this person by looking at and considering the fact that they got hit at 50 miles an hour. Now, doctor, I want to show you the record of this physical therapist so-and-so where they say the crash occurred at 35 miles an hour. Doctor, if the crash had actually occurred at 35 miles an hour and not 50, would that change your opinion? It'd be less impact. It'd be less force. The mechanism of injury would be different. Now, can you still sustain or take your position that you're taking if you had the truthful speed of 35 miles an hour rather than 50 miles an hour?
Right. So those are inconsistencies. Those are just some small examples. The point is you can win this. This sounds insurmountable. It sounds horrific. But the point is you need experience and education and training and knowledge on your side and the truth on your side. So you don't want to ever go in there and make things up. That's the easiest and best way to lose an injury case or any case. But you want the truth. And if the truth was it's 35 miles an hour, then this other entry must be a mistake. And so it was a 35 miles an hour. I don't remember telling the doctor 50 miles an hour. And so that must be a mistake. And so the mechanism of injury would be the same. Yes, I had my seatbelt on. Yes, I was rear-ended at high speed. And it was a very major crash, and maybe I even hit the car in front of me. You can call us for our experience anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We have offices in Denver, Greenwood Village, and Steamboat Springs. We do cases all over the state of Colorado. I want you to ask yourself a question right now. We're going to take a little pause here a minute. What other attorneys do you ever know about that would sit here week after week and give you the information based on over 30 years of experience, actual trials, actual battles, actual wars won to help you and educate you? And that's what we're doing, and we're glad to do it. We're talking about how they attack your medical records. Let's talk about another one, Brad, the intake questionnaire. A lot of intake questionnaires say, well, did your mother or father ever have back problems? Did your mother or father ever have cancer? You tell me about your mother and father. The mother and father aren't involved in this case. The medical history of the mother and father aren't involved in this. It's the injured person.
Well, that goes to another part that we have to deal with doctors and what doctors you're going to, who you're going to. Right now, everybody think about the doctor you would go to if you got hurt. Anybody out there, everybody out there, think about if I got hurt right now in a crash, what doctor would I go to? Or if my children got hurt right now in a crash, where would I take them? You think the emergency room, I don't know what doctor I'd get. But if you're going to go to a regular doctor, one of your doctors, what doctor would you get? Now, as you thought about that, let me ask you, does that doctor have experience in traumatic crashes, in injuries coming from traumatic events? Well, of course, they must have some experience, do they? Does that doctor really have the experience? Next, does the doctor's intake questionnaire have any limitations as to why they need certain information or what you fill out? I'm going in because I hurt my back in a crash, and the doctor wants to know if I've got a history of cancer, or if my family had cancer, or if anybody else in my family, or if my parents had cancer.
Or diabetes.
Or what they die from. Okay, now you've got to start asking yourself, why does a doctor need that to treat my back? And if you don't fill it out, what will the doctor say? We so often sit down and we take the form that's been given to us and just answer everything because we're dutiful, compliant people who are there to be taken care of, and we fill out the forms that are given to us. Nothing wrong with that, except for what we have to stop and think about is that in this particular instance, I'm here to see you, doctor, for my injury. And it's the same thing as if you're working around your house hammering something and you hammered and you missed and hit your hand and broke your knuckle. Do they really need to know certain information about, like Gary said, diabetes or like a heart condition or what your parents died from? Do they need to know when your parents died and what they died from because you broke your knuckle? So you got to think about what you're filling out, why you're filling it out. We'll talk after the break about how we keep that away from the defense, but you've got to think about it.
Think about this. You go into the doctor and the intake questionnaire, they say, have you ever had any symptoms before like this? And you put down no. And you don't remember 14 years ago that you had the minor back pain because you were picking up your kids' toys in the backyard. You don't remember that, but you put down no. Now, fast forward, the insurance company's lawyer is asking you the questions. Well, you said no right here, but you had a back pain reported 14 years ago. But you said no here. What's the implication? The implication is you're not telling the truth. The implication is you're not to be trusted. You're a poor medical records historian. This can be beaten. You have to have a strategy. Next up, your strategy on how to attack the insurance company's attacks and win the case. Bell and Pollock. We'll be right back.
It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell & Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell with the law firm of Bell & Pollock. We are injury attorneys, and this is Your Legal Minute. You're injured in a car crash. You talk to the insurance company for the at-fault party. You already know what to do and say because you've listened to our shows. You're talking to them. You think surely somebody's going to help you because you've been injured. Wrong, that's a myth. Surely somebody's going to pay your medical bills. Surely some insurance company is going to step up and be responsible and pay. Wrong. They're going to try to beat you. They're going to try to defeat your claim. You need to understand they are your adversary, your enemy. This is war. They have scripts on the questions they ask you. They have their own consultants. They have their own doctors. They have their own attorneys. Who do you have? Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com will help you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com. It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell & Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell & Pollock. We are injury attorneys, and we bring this to you, Your Legal Minute. We're talking about distracted driving. So what's the big deal? What difference does it make? If the driver hits you and injured you, is distracted, so what? The insurance company for that driver cares, and it involves your claim, and it enhances and helps your claim for damages, injuries, and losses. And you might say, well, they're going to pay me anyway. No, they're not. They're going to try to beat you and defeat you and mitigate your recovery and reduce it down to nothing or next to nothing. If you can show or prove that the driver who hit you was distracted by a phone, by texting, by eating a breakfast burrito, by eating oatmeal, then you've enhanced your claim. You need to know these things. Talk to an attorney. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com will help you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Welcome back. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Injury Show, the Champions of the People Injury Show, our website, championsofthepeople.com, our phone number, 303-795-5900. Most assuredly, the insurance company is going to attack your medical records and your injury claim through and by your medical records. It is the Bible. That's one of their main attacks, not the only ones, but one of their main attacks. This war can be won, but you have to know what to do. You have to have the education, the information, the experience, and the expertise to fight this. You need to know how the attacks are going to come. It's a basic principle of military war. You know the enemy. You know yourself. You know the enemy's capability. You know their thought processes. You know their strategy. You know your strategy. Do you have a strategy that will win? Yes, Legal Game Plan, our book. We wrote a book. We trademark protected it called Legal Game Plan. You come to Bell and Pollock, you get a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan tailored to you, your crash, your accident, your injuries, your pre-existing conditions, your frailties, your existence in life, the way you are at the time the crash occurred. The way you are at the time the crash occurred. That's very, very important. One more thing we want to talk about on these medical records. Brad, sometimes you go into the doctors and they have this picture of the body and they say, mark where your body hurts with an X or a circle. And then they say you can pick from the legends, might be dull pain, might be sharp pain, might be stabbing pain, might be aching pain, might be constant pain. And you put an X here and a check mark here on the body. And so they try to attack your picture because, and one way they try to say is, well, you didn't put it on your left shoulder. You put it on your neck, so you must not be hurting on your left shoulder. But it's in the general vicinity of your neck, but that's how they do it.
Right. Instead of making two marks for your neck and your shoulder, you just make one mark in that general vicinity, and now they're saying, well, which one was it? Was the neck or the shoulder? And you say both. They go, well, you only put one mark. You have to be very specific. Another thing is that a lot of times people don't recognize the importance of those diagrams and what you're actually marking. It's very, very important that you're accurate and you address those as best you can. It's also important that you address them based on appropriate measures. And when I say that, I mean, you wake up in the morning and you're at the doctor at 9 o'clock in the morning, and in the mornings you do really well, so you're not feeling the pain right then, so you don't put it down. You put down a 2. Because that's how you're feeling right then. But you recognize later on in the day, and as you go through, it increases to a 6. But you didn't put 2 to 6. You just put 2. So now they're looking and saying, well, you only had a pain level of 2. And you're going, well, that was for early mornings. It wasn't afternoons. It wasn't later on. And they go, oh, now you're saying it gets worse as the day goes on. And, of course, what's happened in between the time that you filled that out with your doctor and you're now testifying, you've talked to your lawyer. And, of course, your lawyer now has you saying it's a 6. That's what they want to imply.
So they imply that you're making it up. They imply you're faking. They imply you're lying. They imply you're a poor medical records historian. And you and your attorney have just trumped up this entire charge, and you're greedy. And we've covered that before. Everybody's greedy. You're greedy. They're greedy. The insurance companies say everybody's greedy but them. Everybody. And you're greedy because our insured got sued, and you finally had to file a lawsuit. But they made you file a lawsuit because they wouldn't even pay you the amount of your medical bills. That is the truth. That's the point. I want to talk about these medical records again because you need to understand how the attack is going to come. I can't stress this to you enough. Let's talk a little bit about the McLaughlin case. I want to give you a kind of an example. Well, before we get to the McLaughlin case, I want to cover this example. Brad just hit the nail on the head. You go to your doctor in the morning, you report your pain level at a 2. They try to use that against you by saying, well, your pain level was a 2. How could you get worse and get better and get worse and get better? We have, in certain cases, certain times, and certain clients, we have created a chart. What does the chart show? The chart shows you reported a level of pain, a pain level of 2 here, but right before that, an hour before that, you took some very heavy doses of maybe narcotics or other pain medication that reduced your pain level, that masked the pain level. That's what it's supposed to do, or maybe a muscle relaxant and pain medication. Therefore, you did go down from a pain level of 7 to a 2. You're not a liar. You are telling the truth, and you were taking your drugs and your medication appropriately.
Pay attention to the question. The question is very important. Because the question is, sometimes it says, what is your present pain level? And as you're sitting there, and as Gary said, you might be on some medications. Or it may say, what's the worst pain level you've had this week? And tells the first pain level you've had this week. You have to pay attention to the question. And if the question isn't clear, then you're going to answer it in your mind, but then you've got to establish a consistency. Because it may just have a diagram, it may say pain level. And now you've got to establish a consistency every time you're answering that question. Will pain wax and wane? Yes, it does. We all know that. Some days you have good days. Other days you have bad days with the same injury. That happens with, you know, break your arm and be in a cast. And some days you're going to have good days. Some days you're going to have bad days. Some hours it's going to be fine. Other hours you're going to be in extreme pain. That's what happens. Even a toothache. You know, sometimes it doesn't hurt as bad. Other times it hurts really bad. You got to go to the dentist. Then as you've made your appointment, for some reason it quits hurting and you go, I don't know if I really need to go. You've got to pay attention to the question.
Right. And a lot of people go to physical therapy and they have transient temporary relief. Well, of course your pain level went down. Or you had massage therapy and or medication, appropriate medication. And so it masked the pain level. And now you're reporting your pain level to the doctor. And now they try to use it against you. You can win this war. But you must know what to do. You're an attorney. You and your attorneys must know how this attack comes. Let's talk about the McLaughlin case just a minute, Brad. So let's make up another example, which happens all the time. So you injured your low back in this rear-end crash. Boom, your low back is killing you right now. And you didn't remember that 9 years ago you had this low back sprain that went away the next day. You went to the doctor because you were out in the yard working. And it went away. And so for 9 years you've been symptom-free. So the McLaughlin case in Colorado, a very important case for injured victims, says, under that example, you know, if the symptoms of your pre-existing condition, i.e. the low back pain 9 years ago, if were they resolved 9 years ago, you get a different law applied, a different jury instruction. If, for example, that you hurt your back and you've been going to the doctor every day, right up to the time of the accident and the crash, then the McLaughlin case says you get a different law applied, less favorable to you, i.e. jury instruction, and the jury is instructed on the law. You need to know these things.
Well, it's very important that you understand that somebody's going to put together the record, and hopefully it's your own lawyer who's going to put together the record, of how long it's been between treatments. But you got to understand what that means. If I'm saying you haven't had treatment on a particular particular condition for 6 months prior to the crash, and you therefore were over that condition, and you therefore shouldn't be, the law that applies should be that this is a new injury and not aggravation of a pre-existing injury, then I need to have the necessary information to show me that the reason you didn't go back to the doctor was because the pain had gone away or was of such minimal amount that you didn't need it. But understand that it depends on what injury we're talking about as far in your own lifestyle and your own life condition as to whether or not that 6 months means what we're saying. Basically, we believe, and most of the time people believe, if you don't go see somebody within 6 months for a pain, that means you were pretty much over it. For a condition, you were pretty much over it. That may or may not be true. Once again, it takes the unique examination of your case, of what's happened to you, to make that decision.
Another important factor is you've hurt your low back. And let's say you had low back problems before. So the insurance company is going to say you had low back problems before the accident or crash, and you got them afterwards. So what's your problem? We didn't cause any injury. And Brad and I have been very successful. You can beat this. We've been successful doing the following. Yes, you had a low back problem before, but that was diagnosed at L4. Right from this crash, you have a herniated disc at L5. Yeah, you might have had pre-existing back problems, you might have had pre-existing back pain, but now you have a different level of injury in your spine, entirely provable objectively by MRI, objectively by positive facet loading. And now you have a different part of the body, and they're what, within an inch of each other, but it's a different situation. That's very important.
It's vital, again, to make sure you understand why you're having that pain. Is it radiating pain? Is it coming from a different location? Why did you have the pain to begin with? These are all things that need to be addressed between your lawyer and your doctor and professionals who understand what's going on when a crash occurs, who understand how an injury can follow its particular course, professionals who are willing to look at the pre-existing records that are there and determine to what extent they do or do not relate. It may not be bad to be identifying a pre-existing condition and saying you've aggravated it. It may not be bad at all. Many people sit out there and say, how can you get hurt from a 7 or a 10 mile an hour crash? Well, if you have a pre-existing condition, I can tell you how you can get hurt from it. Because you've already got the condition, you're already in weakened state, and you're very fragile, and a 5-10 mile an hour crash can easily hurt you and cause significant harm.
If you're frail, you're more susceptible to injury. If you had a previous injury and you aggravated it, that's recoverable. You can win this plan. But to do so, you must have a legal game plan, i.e. our book, our expertise, our experience, over 30 years of experience. You must be able to prove. You must have a war plan, a battle plan, a plan for your deposition, a plan for your medical records, a plan for your accident, a plan for you. How did this affect you? And how will this affect you in the future? A navigation system, just like in your car, to navigate the insurance maze and enhance your chances of winning your injury claim. Bell and Pollock. 303-795-5900, our website, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people.